The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. I'm live in studio waiting to take your calls on your health. Let's figure some stuff out. Perhaps you've had a problem. You've tried, you've applied, and you've come up with the same old, not a whole lot of anything that really does the job or works well. Well, here's an opportunity. Call me. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. You know, we do this program every week, every Sunday, high noon, 12 o'clock. And the reason that we do it, and we do it live with one or two exceptions throughout the year, is simply because you deserve the information that's out there. And sometimes what you're getting is blunted and it's covered up because everybody has an agenda. And this is the one place that you're going to get the truth, and at least the truth so you can, you know, be aggravated, irritated to do your own research. That's why I'm here. That's why we do what we do. So, you know what? Let's talk about your problems today, because we're going to talk about some very interesting things, and I'll bet you it's going to fit in to so many of you. What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about your cardiac IQ, you know, your what's really happening with your heart and what kind of testing you should get done. If we have the opportunity, we're going to talk about intermittent fasting. Everybody's heard about that these days. It's all over the place. But is it really good for you? Does it have the impact that everybody says it? You know, are there guidelines? We're going to touch on that because we do a lot of that in the office. And then if we get to that place and we really have some time, then we're going to talk a little bit about epigenetics and but also stem cell involvement. So 888-630-9625, ask your questions. You know, I came across an article this last week, and it was published February the 17th, 2019. So what, last month, right? Or just about. And it was, it caught me, and it kind of not only got my attention, but it verified so much of what I really know. So if I told you that there was a virus out there that everybody's going crazy of trying to fix and stop and look for a cure and so forth, and if I told you it was already patented, it was a virus that was designed, a designer virus by certain drug companies, and you know now they're scrambling supposedly to try to find a fix, a cure for it, would that grab you as being strange, untrue? Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we're going to talk about a couple things relative to this article, and we're going to talk about genetically modified mosquitoes, and we're going to talk about, you know, public policy through public health and the Rockefeller Foundation and viral diseases and yellow fever, and the virus I'm talking about is one that is now a global epidemic by the World Health Organization. And they said it was an emergency on February 1st, 2016. And they did that without detailing much about the disease. In fact, you know, most of the public doesn't know that this virus is already patented. That's right, patented. I mean, it was made by somebody, and they said, hey, that's ours. So they went and, you know, went through the legal process of making it. Who am I talking about? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Zika virus. The Zika virus, you know, roll the clock back the last couple of years, and, you know, you're going to learn a lot of things today about this thing within the next couple of minutes, but I want you to understand that the Zika virus can be transmitted in many ways, but one of the primary ways is it's sexually transmitted. And it's existed for many years, and it's marketed specifically by two companies, Middlesex in the United Kingdom, Base Cell and Microbiology Cultures provided by LGC Standards Limited, and Manassas, Virginia-based reference microorganisms provider, American Type Culture Collection, ATCC. Right in your backyard, folks. Right in your backyard. So I have to be very careful because this has to be absolutely foundational. So now it comes to the question, who owns the patent of the Zika virus? Who are the guys behind the scenes? Well, the Zika virus is commonly purchased online from ATC LGC partnership for 599 euros by, guess who? The Rockefeller Foundation. That's right, the Rockefeller Foundation. So you can look up things like Zika, colon, a masterpiece of public mind control. Isn't that an interesting search? And I'm reading specifically from this article, by the way. Go online and check it out. Zika, colon, a masterpiece of public mind control. You know, American banker and Chase Manhattan Corporation former chairman and chief executive David Rockefeller is an address to a trilateral commission. This meeting goes back, you know, 2 decades ago, 1991. And he said specifically, quote, this is a quote, it would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lice of publicity during those years. But the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to a national autodetermination practiced in past centuries, end quote. Think about that for a second. We are being set up based on this comment from somebody that, you know, was revered as one of the, you know, the top movers and shakers in the world, David Rockefeller, and that we're supposed to have a government controlled by a few. In 1947, researchers from the Rockefeller Foundation placed a rhesus monkey in a cage in the middle of the Zika forest in Uganda. The research team was investigating possible causes of yellow fever, but insisted of finding more about it. They made the discovery. Rhesus 766 would ultimately become known as the first carrier of the Zika virus. Now, you know, here's the thing. Here's the link. Because if you go back and you start looking at a lot of other pieces, you know, from the AIDS virus, the HIV virus, you're going to see similar tracks. So how are genetically modified mosquitoes related to this story that we're talking about? Well, let's roll it back about 8 years now, maybe seven, I guess. So July 2012, British biotechnological company Oxitec, O-X-I-T-E-C, announced that the world to the world, by the way, that it had a large-scale genetically modified mosquito from Brazil, which was instituted with a goal of decreasing the incidence of dengue fever. So this goes on, and they, you know, there's an entomologist from the Department of Agriculture in Hawaii stated that 3.5% of the insects in laboratory experiment managed to reach adult despite carrying a deadly gene. Now, they go on and talk about tetracycline and other antibiotics, you know, and, you know, that they're showing up in our environment, in the soil and the surfaces, the water and so forth. And these genetically modified mosquitoes were designed to die in the absence of tetracycline. So guess what? The more tetracycline you use, the more viable these mosquitoes are. And they're all in our environment. So we have a huge breeding ground to keep these guys alive. I don't know about you, but I think that you start doing some homework and really understanding what's out there. You know, we are not stupid people. And if you do nothing more than starting to do the research and you start asking questions and you dig deep enough, if you're not outraged and if you're not irritated and if you're not totally, totally PO'd at everything that's being shoved down your throat, well, you're either dead or you're in zombie land. One of the two. You know, you'll forgive me for getting jacked up, but I spent the last 2-3 days just reading through articles because I'm preparing for another presentation in about 30 days that I have to give in front of a group of doctors. And I came across the stuff and kind of got sidetracked, and I started looking at, you know, the things that are out there. And do your homework, my friends. Do your homework. I'm here to just kind of open the door for you so you can look down the pathway and you're smart people. Get it done. 888-630-9625. Yeah, check out that old Zika virus and see what it actually says. Let's talk about your cardiac IQ and what that really means. You know, how many of you are scared that you're going to drop dead one of these days from a massive heart attack or coronary vascular disease? And you go to your doctor, and your doctor says, well, your cholesterol is a little elevated and we're going to put you on cholesterol, you know, lowering medications. We're going to put you on statins or we're going to put you on aspirin. And because we have to do that preventatively because we're afraid that you're going to have a heart attack or you're going to have the other, you know, things that occur like strokes and so forth. Well, if you hit a certain age, usually that begins around 50. You've probably heard that at least once, and some of you who are well-educated will say, you know what, I'm going to back off a little bit, but you really need to know the facts, and you need to know what your heart and your cardiovascular system is really doing. That's your cardiac IQ, and there's ways of making that happen, but if you do the traditional testing, the cholesterol, the triglycerides, the LDLs, the HDLs, you know, the ratios, that doesn't mean squat. It really has very little impact. See, to begin with, what you have to understand is you need cholesterol. And a lot of your doctors are dropping your cholesterol levels down around your ankles. And subsequently, they're messing with your hormones, they're messing with your brain cognition, they're increasing your risk of certain types of cancers and degenerative disease and so forth. And everything I'm telling you right now is researchable. Do your job, get on the internet, and start looking around. Don't take one side of the story, look at it all. But the problem is that it is known that cholesterol-lowering medications don't save your butt. Matter of fact, there was a study that was published, and you've heard me talk about it several times, that they studied 1,000 guys, you know, for 10 years or so, and what they did is they came down to a conclusion. You have to treat 100 men with a statin-lowering drug for 5 years to prevent one heart attack. I don't know about you, but those odds aren't really great, particularly when you consider the side effects. You know, when you weigh the risk-benefit ratios of some of these things, it's not so good. So wouldn't it be better to really know what your risk is of a heart attack or a stroke in the near future and need to know what those diagnostic tests are and to be able to ask your doctor specifically to get them for you? Well, there's some tests out there. There's a VAP test and there's this thing called Cardio IQ. That comes from Quest Diagnostics, by the way. But you got to ask for it, because if you don't ask for it, you don't get it. So it breaks down the lipoprotein subfractions of all these cholesterol particles into smaller pieces. And that really lets you know whether you're at high risk or you're not low risk. You know, I've had patients over the years who've been told that they're totally cool, that their cholesterol is in a great place and their LDL levels and the HDL levels are acceptable and so forth. And within a few months after that test, they drop dead. How come they drop dead from a heart attack? How come they drop dead from a stroke? How come they drop dead from something they were told that was not a problem? Simply because that even if they're within normal laboratory ranges, the subparticles, the subfractions of these things could be problematic. And you add an inflammatory reaction to that, and these guys start sticking all over the place. It doesn't make any difference how low they are. It's not about the fat. It's about other things. So we're going to talk about breaking those LDL particles down, those HDL particles down, and show you what the real risk ratio is. And, you know, you're going to hear me talk about something called apolipoprotein Bs, lipoproteins A, and so forth, and what they really are, why they have an impact, something called HDLC, LDLP. I mean, all of you are saying, what? What's all that? What? But these are things that you need to have so you can ask your doctor to run them on you and really get it straight. You know, again, how many of you have been on medications for years and years? And subsequently, guess what? You're still at risk. You're still plaquing. You still have an issue. Hey, guys, you know, if you're on statin medications, you know what happens? You hurt all over the place. Women as well. In addition to that, I might even talk about some of the, you know, erectile dysfunction drugs today and how they mimic some of these things that we're talking about. But I want you to think about that. Think about that fibrinogen and triglyceride and LDL and HDL. We're going to put some light on it so you really get it, so you understand it, so you can ask the right questions. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio. Give me a call, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. By the way, you know, if you want to get a hold of one of the guys in the office and get some one-on-one advice, just, you know, a quick question, and you need to find out if there's something that you can do about it, all you got to do is call RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com. Not call, type it out on the computer, I'm sorry. Or call the office at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And just tell our staff when they answer the phone that you have a question, and if it's possible, you'd like someone to call you. And they will. They'll get back to you, you know, if it's not an emergency, within about 24 hours and, you know, answer your question. Just give them the right time to, you know, get a hold of you. 888-630-9625. That's how you talk to me here. Listen, let's get into this subject. We talked about, you know, a very controversial thing to start the program off with, the Zika virus, and that it's a virus that is owned patented, if you will. And pay attention to my website because I'm going to post some of this. You can go to drtomroselle.com, drtomroselle.com, and probably by Wednesday we'll have it there. And we'll put some of this information, this data up, and you can check it out. Additionally, you know, if you have a question, like send it in and we'll make that happen too. Check out my Facebook page. Go to either Dr. Tom Roselle on Facebook, and I'm publishing things like this all the time. I do have some more information for you as on a couple other areas. But let's get into this cardiovascular thing. And, you know, there's so many of you that are on medications. You know, I was told three years ago that because of my age, I had a 12.5% chance of having a heart attack in the next, 10 years. And I asked the doctor, unfortunately not kindly, after he went through everything, and I said, you know, so are you diagnosing me or the computer? You know, are you diagnosing the patient in front of you, or are you diagnosing the rates that the computer says should be at my age? So you got to be very careful, and you have to know your own body. But to know your own body, you have to know really what your standards are. And to know your standards, you have to know what the markers are. And unfortunately, when your doctor orders a lipid panel, you know, the cholesterol, your HDL, LDL, triglycerides, and so forth, those markers were invented by the drug companies to put more people on statins. Okay? And the reason for that, when I was in school, for example, normal cholesterol was 235. My son will tell you back in the day when the dinosaurs ruled the earth, but nevertheless, 235. Today, it's what? They want you under 200. It doesn't make any sense because people are dying, dropping dead of cardiovascular disease with cholesterols at 160, 170. And they're saying the lower the better. And they get you your cholesterol down to about 140, 145. Trust me, if it is not genetically that low to begin with and you're lowering it with a drug, you're risking all kinds of things from, guess what? Cardiovascular disease, hormone problems, cognitive dysfunction, certain types of cancers, and so forth. You need fat in your body. And if you don't have it, you got a problem. So coronary problems, arterial blocking, cardiac risk has to do with several things. One of them has to do with inflammation. So how is someone supposed to know if you're inflamed or not? There's some very simple tests. Even if you didn't do every test in the world, you want to know what your inflammatory levels are. It's real simple. You know, you have to find out if your risk level is such that you're going to start clotting and plaquing. Arteriosclerosis is the term that we use. It's an inflammatory disease. So you want to know what your fibrinogen score is. Fibrinogen is a part of the blood's clotting process, and it can be elevated due to inflammation. So if you see fibrinogen going up, then you know that you might have some inflammatory reactions that got to be handled. You know, continually high levels are linked to increased risk of cardiovascular disease, period, end of story, right? So what can you do to lower the fibrinogen level? Clean your diet up, go for a walk, stop smoking, quit putting up with pain patterns. If you're in chronic pain, your inflammatory levels are very high. And if you're not doing anything about it, you're going to plaque. And if you plaque, guess what? You're increasing your risk of dying by a clot or a cardiovascular accident of some sort. There's something called high-sensitivity coronary CRP levels. So your high-sensitive, instead of your total amount of CRP, coronary reactive proteins, right, is a very specific marker that indicates inflammation due to infection or injury within the cardiovascular system. You know, moderately elevated levels may be associated with increased heart risk, but if you have both high sensitivity CRP and something called LPPLA levels that are elevated, your risk for heart attack or stroke increases significantly. Nobody's told you that, right? They just gave you those four or five markers and say, you know, those are either really good or they're not in a good place and you got to do something about it. So there are certain medications and foods that may have anti-inflammatory benefits, but you always want to, you know, to default to natural approaches, because if you take meds, they have their side effects, as we talked about with your statins and things of that nature. So we're going to talk a little bit more about your LPPLA2, which is, you know, it's a predictive risk of heart attack and stroke. You know, when you have high sensitivity CRP and you have an LPPLA2 levels, just as we said, you're at a high risk. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about heart failure. We're going to talk about the markers that can actually tell you that that's going to happen. Some of the medications that if you're taking that you increase your risk of that. All of these are within the area of functional medical nutrition that you need to know about. You need to be able to ask the question. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find me here right now after the break. Give me a call. We're coming up to the midpoint of the show. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'm in studio. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Are we having fun yet? We're talking all kinds of stuff today that should, you know, get your attention and make you aware and realize that you got some question to do, folks, and ask the right questions and don't just say, oh, okay, doctor, question me as well. Do your homework. Let's go to the phones. Sal, how can I help you? Sal, are you there? Hello? Sal?
Hello?
Yes, Sal.
I'm here.
How can I help you, sir?
Okay, I wanted to know what are the good range levels for CRP and LPPLA2.
Okay, we're going to get into the LPPLA2 once I explain a little bit more, but I'll give you the CRP level right now. Most laboratories are going to give you a 0 to 3 level. A man should not be any higher than 1, and a woman should not be any higher than 1.1. Even though that the laboratory ranges are skewed, you want to keep them. Now, again, you have to take that range, whether it's a chronic pattern, and it's how it's related to other pieces of the puzzle as well. So we're going to talk about those pieces of the puzzle, and that'll give you a little bit more of understanding. So, you know, keep listening to the program, and I'll get into it very specifically, okay? Thanks for the call, Sal. Appreciate it very, very much. We'll take one more call, and then we're going to get back to Dave. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Doctor. I'm looking to find a doctor, and I'd like to find one that doesn't use electronic medical charts.
Yeah, good luck.
How can I do that?
Good luck.
Good luck.
So here's the unfortunate situation. A lot of the doctors out there that are not using electronic charts are actually at this point, if they deal with Medicare at all, they're breaking the law. You have to file online with Medicare regardless of the situation. So they have to, at least that piece of it has to be upregulated. So anything that has been, and most of the insurance companies demand that these things now are being filed electronically. So a lot of doctors are still using written charts, but if they file a Medicare claim, they have to do it online. That's the law. So when I said, I didn't mean to be, trite when I said good luck, but unfortunately that is the law according to the Affordable Care Act that came out. You know, now we're into about its seventh year. And there's actually some deadlines that ultimately everything will be online at some point. So the only way that you can do it, you know, if you're a Medicare patient and you don't want to file the claim, you're going to have to find somebody that doesn't do charts at all, call them up and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm a cash patient and, you know, do you have online records or not? Our office is so big. We have 24 employees. I've got tons of practitioners. All of our stuff is EHR, electronic health records. But what our office does is we're very careful that we only put in objective findings, that we don't put in, our casual observations of the patient. It's just exactly what the patient tells us, but we still have to know a lot about the patient. So, unfortunately, Dave, it's a conundrum. I understand your pain. I don't like it. Back in the day when we went electronics, my staff, hassled me forever, said we have to go electronic. And for us, we had to because it was a paperwork nightmare. But that's unfortunately the rule. I'm sorry, I can't give you, but you're going to have to pick up the phone and just call people and ask them, do you still use written notes or do you use EHR notes? Do you have computerized systems? That's the best I can do for you, buddy. I'm sorry. 888-630-9625. We have some other calls. I'm going to get to you, but I want to get a little bit more in depth into these statin patterns. Let's talk a little bit about, the LPPLA2. So you know what that really is. You know, that's like, huh, what? I've never heard about that. Well, most of the stuff you're never going to hear about because your docs don't do them. Why? A couple reasons. The panels, the lipid panels, they look at them and say, if they're fine, there's not an issue, right? Well, wrong. And, if they're really not fine, there's really not an issue. Well, wrong. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit. So high levels of LPPAL or PLA2 predict the risk of heart attack or stroke. So when both you have a high sensitivity CRP level and an LPPLA2 level that are high, the risk for heart attack or stroke increases dramatically. And by the way, there are certain medications, as I said early on, that can reduce those levels of LPPLA2, but they don't necessarily decrease the risk simply because they don't deal with the inflammatory pathway the way it needs to be dealt with. So this is straight up stuff. You can look this stuff up. Now let's get into it a little bit more, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to start taking some more questions. So heart failure, okay, occurs when the heart can't pump anymore. And, you know, it doesn't have its integrity. So it can't get the oxygen out. The tissue starts starving, and particularly cardiac tissue. And then pretty soon, boom, you know, you're not working. So there's a couple things that, you know, that are associated. One of the old things that's been out there forever is CoQ10, coenzyme Q10. It feeds the little engines of the heart and the brain. It's called the mitochondria. And they're more dense in the brain and the heart than any place else in the body. So coenzyme Q10 can be depleted simply by taking a statin and or a statin-like. Even the natural statins, by the way, that are out there will still do the same thing. And then they can cause cause muscle cramping. The heart is a muscle. So when you take a statin and you deplete CoQ10 and the heart cramps, you increase your risk of cardiac failure, which is a side effect, by the way, if anybody's going to be honest with you. So here's the deal. We're going to talk about something called NT-Pro, capital B, capital N, capital P. So NT-Pro-BNP is a hormone released from the heart muscle cells in response to stress or strain on the heart. A high level of NT-Pro-BNP is a warning that the heart is being overworked. So if you want to find out, are you at risk, this is a test that your doctor should run. It's NT-Pro-BNP, and you need to ask about that. So a high level NT-Pro-BNP is a warning. Again, early notification, if you will, or identifying these levels can help you save your life. You need to know about this stuff. ST2, and we're talking about right now, I'm getting into all the pieces of functional nutritional medicine. Why? Well, I've got two diplomates in functional human nutrition. So we're talking about all the things that is cutting edge that we know about, we've been using for years. ST2 is a specific type of protein. If heart failure has already been diagnosed, I mean, you've already been told you're possibly in a heart failure, ST2 monitors its progression. It tells you how bad it is, how far down the line it's going to be. So wouldn't it be great to know? So high levels of ST2 mean that your heart failure is getting worse, you know, and that you got to do something different. If you don't do something different, guess what? You're going to die. So you've got to change it. Maybe you have to change your diet. Maybe you better give up those cigarettes finally, or that caffeine, that coffee, that, you know, all those things that you put in your system. Maybe it might be starting to get some good vegetables in your body and go for a walk 2 miles every day. Remember, you've heard me say repetitively, if you walk 2 miles every day, you decrease your risk of dying from any kind of problem, any kind of disease problem by 50%. Just walking 2 miles every day. Get off your butt. Quit flicking the remote control and, you know, go do something. Quit say, hey, honey, will you bring me something to eat while I'm watching this? Go up and get it yourself. You know, go up the stairs, walk up and down. Let's talk about some other metabolic markers, and then we're going to get into some of this other stuff. So metabolic markers, you know, is a way of measuring the process and of how your body works. And it tells you all kinds of things. We talked about hemoglobin A1C. Hemoglobin A1C, when combined with glucose, tells you a lot about what your blood sugars are doing. Now, what does it have to do with your heart? Well, hemoglobin A1C is used to help figure out who may have diabetes either right now or coming up in the future, right? It can be a pre-diabetic state or you're full-blown. Well, we know that high levels of A1C hemoglobin not only indicate pre-diabetic or diabetic state, but they also increase or signify an increased risk of coronary disease. Because if you're diabetic, your blood vessels are inflamed and you got a problem. So it's not just glucose. Glucose tells you about the blood right now, you know, what you did the last few days, or the inability of your pancreas, you know, to produce insulin, or your body's inability to respond to insulin that your pancreas is making. So sugar is not getting into the cells where it's needed. And so diabetes is a common disease, unfortunately, much more common than it's ever been. And we, because we're a too fat society, if you came to our class last week that Dr. Lamp did in sugar addiction, you would have found out homocysteine, high levels of homocysteine can cause injury to your blood vessels. It's a poison in the body, increases your risk for heart disease and stroke. So high levels of homocysteine. So your question should be, how high is too high? Well, in a functional medicine pattern, we don't like to see it above 7, 6 to 7. But your laboratory ranges will go up to 12 or more. What does that mean? That means that they're not doing their job as far as I'm concerned. So eating more foods that contain B vitamins and folic acid play a super huge important part in dropping your homocysteine level, as well as, you know, making sure you get rid of the other garbage as well. Insulin, why is it measured in a cardiac panel? Well, insulin, increases the risk high insulin level increases the risk of heart disease as well as diabetes. So it tells you that things aren't working the way they're supposed to. It's not able to transport blood sugars the way they're supposed to. Can't get into the cell the way it's supposed to. So you need to have that insulin level at a certain level. And then we talk about omega-3s and 6. Okay, so your omega-3 index is linked to increased risk of cardiac disease and cognitive dysfunction and increased levels of cancers and so forth. So we've got to deal with it. And then finally, our vitamin D. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit more, but let's talk to Alan. Alan, thank you for being patient. How can I help you?
Good morning, doctor. I'm listening to you speak about the cholesterol issues. And I have a blood panel in front of me for an upcoming doctor's appointment, and you mentioned specifically inflammation, and I'm wondering if that's just with the heart, or does it also apply to what I call ghost weight gain, which is something I'm experiencing, and I do have diabetes and a whole lot of other issues.
All right, so you're going to gain weight simply because you can even be thin and be too fat. What I mean by that is it's you're a thin fat man, and I'm not saying you are because I can't see you. So what happens is that the fat is accumulating inside your body and surrounding your organ systems and so forth. So a lot of these markers will give you a picture, but to do full justice, you have to run other panels. You have to run complete thyroid panels. You have to run hormone panels. Your testosterone level total, but your testosterone free, because that's the one that's working. You need to find out your bad testosterone, your DHT. So if we put all of these things together, it'll give you the look at what it is that's really going on in your body. You know, if your blood sugars are high and, you know, you're looking at an A1C hemoglobin that's too high, you know, it tells you that there's an inflammatory barrier. It's like a wall that's not allowing blood sugars to transport into the tissue. You know, so subsequently, you've got to find out what's doing that. First, you look at, you do simple things first. You look at diet, you know, you see what you're doing. My mantra is, you know, sugars, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO products. You know, you take a look at things like that. Are you not getting any exercise? You know, are you under a lot of stress? One of the primary culprits in driving these markers is stress, where we put it in our back pocket, we're chewing on it all the time, and pretty soon we don't even realize that we're stressed because that's our normal life. And putting up with pain patterns. If anybody's in pain, you know, they're putting up with it and say, you know, take 2 aspirin, call me in the morning kind of syndrome. That also increases the inflammatory levels. Subsequently, what happens is that, you know, you're going to plaque because inflammation is there. By definition, inflammation is acid, and the body tries to protect you. No matter how little or how much fat you have, it's going to put it on the arterial walls because that acid wants to eat through it. And so your body's going to try to stop it. So go ahead.
Sorry, is there something like cortisol issues or?
Sure.
I mean, my weight has been 320 some pounds years ago to a low a couple of years ago of 208 pounds. And I didn't lose that from diet and mostly diet, but I wasn't able to exercise until I had a foot and ankle reconstruction in late 2015.
Got it. So, here's
then I've gained some weight.
Sure. So, you know, there's a lot of things you can do for exercise, even at home, even when you can't move or, you know, your body's at that level. You know, they make these like hand cycles, you know, so you can get upper cardiovascular circulation just by, like you're pedaling, you can pedal with your arms. You can do something very simple as getting up and walking around the house on a regular basis. You don't have to go outside to do these things. The whole idea is to move. Drop your dietary patterns to the, you know, getting rid of all the carbohydrates and the sugars in your diet, dramatically increasing your vegetables, eating proteins, fish and chicken that are free-ranged organic, that haven't been shoved with all kinds of hormones and antibiotics and things of that nature. Doing things like that can make a huge, huge difference. You know, if we can help you, you know, give us a call. I'm happy to, you know, to get into this further with you. You know, our nutrition department can make a major difference in this. They know what they're doing and they can really take care of it. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate it. 888-630-9625. You know, we have so much to talk about and so little time to get it done. A couple more calls. We'll try to get to it when we come back from the break. But you have to know your A1C hemoglobin. You have to know your glucose, your homocysteine level, your insulin markers. You know, constant high insulin increases the risk for heart disease. And you got to know what that is. We talked about omega-3s and omega-6s. If they're out of ratio, not only at the wrong levels, but their ratios aren't proper, then you have an issue. If your omega-6s are too high, you're going to have a problem with plaquing and cardiovascular disease. If your vitamin D levels are low, you're going to have a problem. These are things that most physicians will not talk to you about. But if you do your own homework, if you do your own research, you'll find these things to be true. Check out my website this week, drtomrosell.com. You can go back and forth between rosellcare.com, but drtomrosell.com. I'm going to publish a couple of these things for you. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rosell here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rosell Live, and we've been giving you a lot of data today and stuff that you really do need to know, things that you need to research, things you need to have the information on. Remember, I'm here to shake the boat a little bit. I want you to do your homework. I want you to get out there and really check it out so you can ask the right questions across the board. Every Sunday, 12 noon, Eastern Seaboard, we're here, and we're here to give you as much data as we possibly can. And as I said before, go to drtomrosell, drtomrosell.com, or go to rosellcare.com and check it out. And there's going to be a lot of data and information that you can go back and forth. I'm going to take one more call, then I want to give you a little bit more information. Robert, thank you for holding on. How can I help you?
Yes, hi. Questions I want to touch upon, lipoprotein A and a free vascular screening that I was given to test plaque in my system. The lipoprotein A, I understand one out of five has that, and it's not tested. So I requested the test on lipoprotein A, and I had it was high, 185, but it's not extremely high, so I was told not to worry about it, and I don't have the high risk levels. They say there's not enough research on lipoprotein A. What's the story on
that? Okay, that's not true. So I can't answer both your questions because we're coming up to the end of the program,
sure.
But I'm gonna do the lipoprotein A. It's one of the best indicators associated with the risk of cardiovascular disease across the board, and it was something that was used in Europe for many years. There was a heart study that was done in Copenhagen many years ago, and what they found is that levels above 50, had 2 to 3 times the increased risk of a heart attack. So you've got to, you know, don't look at American studies. You have to look at some of these things that are out there. So you have to look at the association between, you know, lipoprotein A's cardiovascular disease, you know, as it relates to many other factors. And you're going to look at, you know, your non-HDL levels and cholesterols and so forth. But
LDL, that's 135. It's been a low.
Yeah, but that means nothing as well. You're, and we didn't get into it. I could have spent 3 hours on this program. Your LDLs, your lipoproteins A and B, are subfractions of the LDLs as well as other things.
Uh-huh.
So you know, when you see a marker, you know, they want you in this country, they want your LDL level at 100 or less. And it doesn't need to be that low. It needs to be under 135, but the subfractions, the lipoproteins A and B, are the ones that you really need to look at, and the lipoprotein A is the one that is the most critical. You know, it's contained, the lipoprotein A's are retained in the arterial bed, in the wall itself, and, you know, it transports these oxygenated things that are called phospholipids. So it's important that, you know, that you really get that information and you know how to apply it. I'm going to try to publish some of this as we go through. There's a lot of information that we need to, you know, really need to make everybody aware for. But I really appreciate your phone call, Bob. But lipoprotein A is you want it 50 or less. If you want it ideal, that's where it needs to be. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation that's out there, and you need to really look at, you know, what the real data is. And sometimes you have to go outside the country. Niacin, by the way, Bob, is known to lower lipoproteins A significantly. You know, a little bit of niacin, 500 milligrams in a time release, you know, will, in fact, drop it by about 30%. It's very, very significant. You know, there's so much data, and it's starting to come out, and you have the right to know the information, because I tell you what, if you know this data, you really get it, you understand it, you know more than your physicians do. You know more than the cardiovascular guys do. You know, evidence indicates that, you know, that these things have been tested and that they have a very specific correlation to the outcome cardiovascularly. And as we get older, and actually this should be done early on. You know, this year I had a couple things that shocked me. I had four of my best friends over the years drop dead. And one, there was no reason for it, but we found out that he had a hole in his heart and his cardiovascular system just kind of collapsed. There was no plaquing. There was no bleed. And that's rare. That's like super, super rare. But the other guys, you know, I had to go on, and you know, they didn't have any pictures on Facebook, but their wives did. So I checked them out, and some of these boys really had gotten themselves out of hand. They had put on way too much fat. These guys played, you know, ball in college, and they were very dynamic people, very successful. But here they are. They dropped dead before 70, and suddenly, and I can look at some of their pictures, and I can tell what they were doing and so forth. Not okay. You have to learn how to take care of yourself. And taking care of yourself means you have to know what these markers are so you can ask the right questions of your doctor, go in a decent conversation with them, and make sure that they give you the right answers. But become proactive. It's not about medications. It's about lifestyle changes that you have to make, things that you can do for yourself and increase your genetic potential. And they're genetic markers we didn't even get into today. We're coming up to the end of the program. Wish I had a whole lot more time. Just remember, I love you all.